Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Louise Nelson is the principal of Wicklow's new outdoor primary school. Louise is with me in studio today. Good afternoon, Louise. You're very welcome.
Good afternoon.
So, what is an outdoor primary school? Explain it to me.
Well, it's a new thing for Ireland, but it's something that is popular throughout the rest of the world. We're going to be spending the majority of our day outside, which I know scares some people.
The whole day, despite the weather?
Yeah. If we only went outside on the good days, then we wouldn't be going out very often.
With the exception maybe the last 3 weeks,
apart from that. So what we aim to do is we have three pillars to our curriculum. So we're going to have nature, nurture and knowledge. So we're going to be spending as much time as we can outdoors, learning in nature, learning through nature and learning about nature. As David Attenborough said, if you don't grow up knowing about nature and appreciating it, then the children won't understand it and won't protect it. And if they don't protect it, who will?
Yeah. So when you say it's an outdoor school, is there a structural building?
Yes. Yeah, so we're actually we're in with SEK International Dublin School. And so they are a secondary school. And they're an international school.
Are they a private school?
A private school,
right.
An IB, so International Baccalaureate School in Greystones. And we're going to be leasing a couple of classrooms from them, indoor classrooms. So we will have some indoor classrooms and indoor toilets as well. But we will have, they have 52 acres at SEK International. So a great amount of space to play in and a lovely forest area, which we're going to be spending a lot of time in, where we'll have a couple of polytunnels so that they've got like a little base outside, but... You know, they can protect them. You know, it can be a bit protected from the rain on those days.
But it's mainly based off the Irish curriculum, is it? The actual education, the learning.
Yeah. So the Irish curriculum is skills based. And so if you take away all of the textbooks and exercise books and things and go back to the skills part of the Irish curriculum, then that's what we're going to be using. So we will be inquiry led. Mm. So we'll be very similar to the International Baccalaureate system. Doing a lot of well-being and nature, nurture and knowledge. There's a lot of children at the moment, 60,000 kids in Ireland are off school on any given day. And a lot of that is now, a lot more is due to anxiety and, you know, school avoidance. So that's something that we were particularly wanting to kind of address. And then obviously our knowledge side of things is going to be our inquiry-based programme.
So the school is opening officially. It starts this September, is that right?
September, yeah.
And how many kids have registered so far?
We have now 135 registered interest. We have places for 40 in this first lot of enrolment. We have junior infants, senior infants and first class. But then we'll be expanding on that.
Yeah, so it's just the first 3 years for the first intake effectively come
just
September.
Like any national school when they first open.
So how many teachers then are involved?
So our staff ratio is going to be 1 to 12. So at the moment, we're going to have 2 teachers and 2 teaching assistants. We won't be able to have any one-to-one support because we're not Department of Education. We're going to be inspected by TUSLA under the Alternative Education Department. But our teachers are going to have their Irish Teaching Council number.
Okay.
So they'll be very professional, experienced teachers.
Are there certain kids this suits more than others, or is it sort of like, I'm thinking for parents listening today, and I know there's quite a few people looking to join us about this. 1800 453 106 is the number, but what kind of kid is it aimed at?
Any child. Because at the moment there's a staggering amount of children. 3/4 of UK and Irish children spend less time outdoors than prison inmates. So I just pause a little bit there, because that's 3/4 of the children are not spending time outdoors, like more time outdoors than a prison inmate. So any child loves playing, and any child can do the same lessons outside as they do inside. They just need to be dressed well. That's all.
Just don't dress properly for the weather.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
so it. So they're outside in the rain or the wind or whatever it is. Yeah. If it's particularly bad, they'll go inside. But
yeah, but we'll also have we have sheltered areas as well. And just like any of the the Irish Forest School Association, we'll have little shelters and things as well outside.
Would you say 90% of the time then will be outdoors?
I'd say it, yeah, a good proportion of the time.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, very play-based. We are a CLG, so that's not for private profit. So even though we have to charge fees, which is a little bit that sort of grinds with me a bit, you know, that I have to charge fees, we have to because we're not through the department, because we did try and see if we could align with the department, but they weren't up for that just yet.
Okay.
But they will have a hot lunch in with those fees, but we are a social enterprise, so we got trained through Rethink Ireland, who help social enterprises.
Stay with me, Louise, if you don't mind. Mary McCarthy is on the line. Mary's columnist at the Irish Independent, now based in Brussels. But Mary, I believe some of your kids have been attending outdoor classes each week. Is that right?
Good afternoon, Andrea and Louise. So unfortunately, they aren't. But in my son's school, he's 16. And that's an IB school that Louise was just talking there. It's not the Leaving Cert, it's like it's a different program, but they really encourage kind of inquiry-based learning and like they really kind of look outside the box. But anyway, in his school, they do offer an outdoor school and they don't do all the lessons outdoor, but they do like maybe one lesson a day. And actually, you know, that was shocking, that stat that Louise had there, that kids spend so little time outdoors because there's so much research to show how being in nature, being outdoors, it makes us, and sure, we know ourselves, like it's not just kids, it's adults. We're less grumpy, we're happier, I'd say more inclined to being open to learning. And actually, there's research there that shows from University College London, it was done in 2019, just one lesson a week outdoors had benefits for learning and well-being. So I really think Irish schools, like here, it's only now I've moved here. So my other three kids are in a different school, right? And the primary kid, he gets an hour outdoors playing every day, like 2 30-minute breaks and then a 45-minute break for his canteen. Like he didn't even get half that in Ireland, you know? And I do notice a difference. Like Louise, that stat there where you said 60,000 kids off school, like there's a reason for that. Why aren't they going to school? Yeah. And I do see with my son, he's like, I don't want to go. He has to get up really early, get in the bus. And I'm like, well, look, you're going to get your break at 10 o'clock. You'll be out for half an hour running around. And I do think it makes him more happier to go. I think it's a great idea. I mean, just being realistic, like that school there that Louise is running sounds like fabulous. Like the facilities sound fabulous. Your average primary school won't have that. But if they could organise to go one lesson a week, to go to the park, if there's a park nearby, or anywhere, like that has benefits. So like, I would think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, do we put enough emphasis on the outdoors, Mary?
Hang on, say that again, Andrea.
Do we put enough emphasis on the outdoors, like and children's time and playing outside?
No, we don't. We really don't. Because now there's so much digital, there's so much entertainment they can do like digitally. And then there's also all the, it's more supervised now. It's more like organized kind of like they do organized extracurricular as opposed to just knocking around the park and exploring their local area, you know, like we would have done. So I don't think there is enough emphasis. And I think like the schools should definitely do more, but we should, as parents, we need to think about, well, can we let our kids go out on their own when they're 10 or 11 just to go rambling around the area? We probably can. And I think we probably need to incorporate that more and just to make for happier kids, you know.
Philip O'Connor is joining us as well. Mary, Philip's a parent and a journalist based in Stockholm. Tell me about the Scandinavian tradition of sort of leaving everything outdoors, Philip.
Yeah, I can't remember if you've ever been to Scandinavia, Andrea, but you will only be 10 minutes off the plane here. And if you mention the weather, a Scandinavian will say to you that there's no such thing as bad weather. There's only bad clothes.
Yeah,
and the parents of Louise's school. Exactly. The parents of Louise's school. That is a lesson that they're going to learn very, very quickly when they get started now in September. Scandinavians are very outdoor people. You know, everybody I know in Norway and Sweden, winter, summer, it doesn't matter. They just want to be outdoors the whole time. And indeed, you know, kids from very small babies, they're left out outside on the balcony or in the backyard to have their naps out. Could be minus 10, it doesn't matter. But again, as long as they're wrapped up, they'll be fine. And it's fascinating to listen to the two contributors there talking about being outdoors, because it's actually, it strikes me it's almost entirely unnatural for kids to be stuck inside. I think Louise mentioned, you know, that kids spend less time outside than prisoners. And I think I would have experienced most of my time in school as Ireland as akin to being in prison. I would have much preferred to have been outside larking about. But there's another thing about that as well. There's a professor of football at the School of Sports Science in Oslo, Norway. It's a man called Mark O'Sullivan from Cork. And he speaks a lot about this, about, you know, especially the play aspect that Marie was talking about there, of adults sort of steering things and organised extracurricular activities. And a lot of what Mark does in education and skills acquisition is basically letting them self-organise and get out of their way. Now, I've no idea how Louise is going to go about teaching them the reading, writing and arithmetic they're going to need to learn. I assume it'll be done in a similar way. But there's a lot to be said for putting kids off on a journey of discovery and letting them into the great outdoors to find these things out for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, George Bernard Shaw said, we don't stop playing because we grow old because we stop playing. And, you know, we really do need to let children play, because that's how any mammal, like young mammal, learns to you know, go about their adult life. And we really are kind of prohibiting their development by not letting them play as much.
Yeah, there seems to be, Philip, there's obviously, you know, a huge focus on the outdoors, the great outdoors, being outdoorsy across Scandinavian countries. Why do you think we haven't adopted that?
I think it's to do with the rain, and it's to do with how things were sort of built in Ireland, right? Because, I mean, many Irish people will recognise the fact that sometimes it's colder indoors than it is outdoors, because our houses aren't insulated or heated up correctly. We have trouble. I mean, if we look at retrofitting now, there's so many houses in Ireland that need to be retrofitted just on that basic level. The Scandinavians had no choice but to be very quick to isolate, because otherwise they wouldn't have survived the winters here. So there is that difference between going across the threshold into a warm home, that you warm it up once in the day and it stays warm forever. So you can actually go out and you can wander in the mountains or in the fields. I live in a suburb of Stockholm here where there's a green area that's protected. They'll never be allowed to build on this. And every weekend, winter or summer, you'll find people cross-country skiing there. You'll find them walking and you'll find them cycling. And indeed, there's an outdoor swimming pool that's being used now all summer there. So it is kind of putting that kind of thing first. We come from an agrarian society that maybe didn't have the building technologies that they had in the rest of Europe. But if we can make that adjustment now and reclaim the great outdoors, because I hate to say it, but the Scandinavians are right. If you have the right clothes on, you can be outdoors in minus 20 grilling hot dogs with your kids and you'll have the time of your life. You know, I just wouldn't take my gloves off for too long if I were you.
Alwyn Moran is a neurodevelopmental therapist and the founder of Cogni Kids. How important is the great outdoors for children's development, Alwyn?
Oh, well, thanks, Andrea. I'm so excited for the little ones of Greystones to be getting this opportunity, because it's just absolutely fantastic. When children play and learn outdoors, they're not just having fun. They are literally wiring their brain, and they'll have better focus. They'll have better coordination. They'll have better emotional balance as well as the actual balance. So their vestibular systems are being activated as well. So you just can't beat outdoors. It's nature's original classroom, calms the nervous system. And we know that ourselves as adults. I think, as Mary mentioned, you know, we all know that we feel better when we're in nature. That's because it actually calms our nervous system down. For little ones, it sparks their curiosity as well, which is just incredible. Allow them potter in the mud and the muck and, you know, try and climb up tree stumps and looking at flowers and different things that are appearing throughout the year. Fantastic. And it also nurtures that resilience as well.
So the sort of the nature-based kind of curriculum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Nature and outdoors. But don't forget as well, we've got movement for our little ones. Movement is one of the most important things for building brains. Movement helps the body to create a thing called BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It's a protein. That protein actually helps to build a better, juicier, much lovelier brain. Kids who are static and not moving don't actually get that secreted as much as kids who do move. So having this opportunity to go to school and be out and about and in nature, moving around the place, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And it's something that screens and indoors definitely does take away from our children.
So and yet, it's like it's all we ever talk about are the shiny new buildings, and around election time, all you hear, Alwyn, politicians promising, extensions to schools and new schools and all of this. And like, we're living on an island. Surely we could have more outdoor schools.
We should absolutely have more. And it was lovely to hear Philip saying maybe we can reclaim that now and, really, really properly look at our education system. No point in just reforming the Leaving Cert. Let's have a look at the whole system the whole way through, particularly nowadays, the way that our modern technology and our modern environments are impacting. Like if we look, the CDC pushed back the developmental milestones there about 2 years ago. Now, I know I was on giving out about it because it's normalizing a pathology. They recognize that children are hitting their milestones much later. So instead of actually going, whoa, hang on a second, why are children hitting their milestones later? What can we do about it? They're like, well, okay, well, we'll just push it back a little bit. So modern environments are impacting. So phenomenal opportunity to get more children into schools that offer much more of nature and, as Louise said, nurture as well.
Some of our listener texts on this. My son is in a brilliant, small, totally outdoor ECCE school. He loves it, rarely gets sick, so I'd highly recommend it. This texter, Louise, is wondering about children with additional needs, with autism. Are they catered for?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it depends on the level of need. We have a teaching assistant, as I said, and a teacher in each classroom. So we'll have lovely small classroom sizes. And what we've found is that I've been a teacher for 25 years now, and as our last caller was just saying, I have seen those developmental goals, get later and later, and the anxiety grow, but we found when we were after we went back after COVID, I was taking children outdoors for a couple of hours at a time, different classes, and the difference in the children when they were outside. Some of the children were like completely different children there. And so some of the children who maybe couldn't sit still inside, who we would say are neurodiverse, they just needed to be moving. And it just works so well for those children, and doing a little bit of digging, a bit of the gross motor skills, and that was them grounded, and then they could concentrate. So it's lovely.
Teresa Heaney is the CEO of Early Childhood Ireland. Teresa, we do have some, won't say fully outdoor creches, but sort of partially outdoor creche facilities, don't we?
There's an outdoor.
Yeah, we actually do. Yeah, we have quite a few. Pretty nearly 100% outdoor preschools. Actually, there's a couple in Donegal, which were probably the first ever.
Yeah.
I was down in Kerry at the weekend. There was a fantastic school that I visited as well. And, we know, I couldn't agree with your caller, your speakers more. Like some of the reasons why it's really important that we provide good outdoor play opportunities for children is in order to counteract, of course, all of the technology and the built environment that children are living in. But because of how important it is that they do develop their gross motor skills, their strength, their endurance, their balance, all of those incredibly important areas that children need to develop. As well as that, we know that stress reduces hugely when children are outside. I mean, recently TUSLA introduced new regulations for outdoor preschools. And I mean, it's got a great title. It's called Where the Roof is the Sky. And whenever I visit an Early Childhood Ireland member, a preschool anywhere up and down the country, where the children are outside, the stress, the noise is going into the sky. You don't hear the noise banging against the walls, which can be very challenging for children who maybe have difficulty with sensory processing. They're outside and they're doing all of those things that children love to do. Mm. They're digging, they're arranging, they're counting stones. They're transporting the stones from A to B. They're doing all their sorting. They're doing all their climbing. And like, for example, at the service that I was in Mount Top Montessori in Kerry on Friday, they have a wee bridge But they said, well, sometimes it's a bridge and another time it's a stage and another time it's a place that they can hide in. So children's creativity and imagination is really supported outdoor environment as well.
Andy's got in touch. Andy, I believe you run one of these preschools, is that right?
Yeah, we run. I'm the manager of the Nature Kindergarten where Louise's children went to.
Oh, very good. Okay. And roughly how many kids have you enrolled there at the preschool?
We have 30 children in our school, our class.
Yeah. And there's obviously, you see demand year on year in terms of parents trying to sign them
up. I could open another one, no problem. So I could, if we had the right space for it. So we could, we have that much demand. We have a waiting list for children to get in now.
How much space do you need?
We are on 3 acres here in Kilbattery Estate, so that's excellent. But you need at least an acre to kind of make it worthwhile. Depends how many children you have. So the more children you have, the more space you kind of need to move around. It's fantastic. So it is. I see a huge difference between indoors and outdoor children. We get children like that who come from other centres and they're maybe not settling in well, and then they come to me and they settle really well and you know their behaviour can improve and stuff.
Okay.
With us outdoors, yeah.
Text from a listener who says, I would 100% send my child to an outdoor school. My son spent his free preschool years in an outdoor preschool in Limerick. He loved it. He's only ever had one antibiotic for an ear infection. He's now 10. The rain never bothers him. I'd highly recommend it, but needs to start at preschool level, suggests this listener. Just very finally, Louise, it's called the Outdoor Primary School in Greystones and Wicklow. It's opening officially this September. So are you full to capacity or...?
We have not sent any enrolments yet, any offers of enrolments. We were having an open day at the weekend, and so we wanted parents to be able to see the location first, which is a stunning location. You can see the sea. And so then we're going to be sending out enrolments in the next few weeks. We still have we might have like a few spaces at certain ages.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So where can people get more information?
So on our website, which is www.theoutdoorprimaryschool.ie. There's an events page and there's a registrations page.
So they can find out more.
But then
there.
Also on Instagram as well.
All right.
I was just going to say about risky play, like, because a few things were coming up there. And they found in research that those children who engage in risky sort of play, like outdoor play, during their younger years, like Eki and primary school years, then don't seek it out as teenagers. So that's something interesting to leave you on.
All right, okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. Louise, thanks a million. Louise Nelson, who's the principal of Wicklow's new outdoor primary school. Mary McCarthy, Philip O'Connor, Alwyn Moran from Cogni Kids, Teresa Heaney and Andy, thanks a million for getting in touch. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.